Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce, co-host of Let's Find Out. And that was Elaine Silver singing our theme song, Standing in the Possibility, which she wrote. It's a beautiful song. Tonight we're going to be having a very interesting conversation about your name and what it means, every letter and every syllable. My wonderful guest is Sharon Wythe, who is the author of Know the Name, Know the Person. Is that correct, Sharon?
It's Sharon Wyeth, and yes, absolutely.
Good. So how did you discover this science?
Well, I was in a classroom, and my brain has been trained in mathematics, being a math major in college, and I was teaching math. And I went to do the seating chart for my students in my seventh year of teaching. And we'd been given the name of students at the beginning of the year like we always are. Excuse me. And so I started putting down the names, and my brain started saying, oh, don't put that one next to that one together. They'll be clowns. And this one's going to need extra help. Put them up front. So it was about, I was doing the fourth class, when it dawned on me, wait a minute, I don't know these children yet. So I'm getting impressions just from their names. So I decided to write down the impression on every name that I got, and I put it away until winter break because I wanted to get to know the kids better for who they were. First, and at winter break when I looked at the names, I thought, this is so accurate, it's almost scary. My brain has figured out a pattern, and now I need to make it conscious. So then I started working on it, and I started, there was a plethora of Davids in my life.
So it's almost like you were channeling it, and I don't like the word channeling, as you know, but it's almost like you were intuiting all of this before you really got it on paper.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I didn't know how it was working. And so I couldn't teach it or share it or, I mean, I was totally clueless on how come my brain was able to do that.
So it was a new beginning.
So I literally started the old-fashioned way by putting down the name of every David I knew and saying, what are all the qualities and characteristics of this one and of that one and of that one? And thinking, okay, the ones that are in common have to come from the name David, and the qualities that are not in common have to come from somewhere else. So it has to be the middle name or the last name.
And oh, that's an interesting thought. Very interesting.
Over a 15-year time period, I worked out all the nuances and broke it down not just by whole names but by letter and the position of the letters and what the letters are sitting next to and how that influences. And then I went out in the field and tested it for 3 years.
And it worked. And you mean the letter, like if the A is the fourth letter or the third letter or the second letter?
Well, actually, it's the first letter, the first vowel, the middle letter, or the last letter.
So my first letter is a vowel, which is an E. And what does that mean?
For you, it would mean, for anybody that would have an E as their first vowel, it would mean that you guys can be the energetic bunnies, and you may be slow to start, but boy, once you get going, you just keep going and going and going, and everybody else tires out first. It means that you are the detectives. You want to know everybody's story and the bottom to everybody's story, what makes them tick. It says that you like humor, that you like things physical, you like things tangible. You can learn from hearing, but you also learn kinesthetically. It goes on to, you know, say all kinds of things.
About
everybody that would have that letter in that position. You would all have that in common.
So you have those characteristics.
Right. Now, as the E moves along, like in Elizabeth, the E, then you have another one later.
Right.
That E in the middle letter position means that you are able to see things from other people's points of view, whether you agree with that point of view or not.
Mm-hmm. So that's having empathy. That's a natural gift of having empathy. And some people don't have that at all, Sharon.
Exactly. But like my birth name, I have no E's in my name. And I have no U's in my name. And E's and U's hold humor. So if you look at my name, there was no sense of humor. I had to really work hard to develop a sense of humor because I had no letters that supported it.
Uh-huh. So you're S-H-A. So what? That's the third. What would that mean now?
If it's the first vowel, it has a special meaning. And so the A, regardless of what position it's in, it's my first vowel. And so that's how we read it. And that the A's of the world with the first vowel are your workhorses. They're the ones that see what need to be done, and they get it done, and they work behind people's back cleaning up after other people. Oh, this didn't get done. Let's do it. This didn't get done. Let's do it. They're the workhorses. And then because they do what they see needs to be done, but the person they did it for didn't notice it in the first place, so they don't notice that you did it for them, and then they don't say thank you because they didn't notice. And the A works for praise. And so then the A says, oh, I'm not appreciated, and gets a chip on their shoulder that nobody appreciates them enough because nobody sees the work that they do. And so in my book, I also say, okay, here's this quality and characteristic. What do you do with it? So then in that case, I would say, let them know ahead of time before you're doing it and say, would you like help getting such and such done because I saw it still needed to be done. And that way they can say yes or no. And then when you do it, you get a thank you. And that's what A's work for. They work for the praise. But those are your workaholics that are out there, normally the A's. On the other hand, when they're done working, they are your couch potatoes.
Sharon, do you think that maybe the one with the A that you said was a workaholic, do you think maybe that they might work hard for little gain? Is there anything there that says we have so many people out there now that are working very hard and they feel like they're not getting compensated? Would that have anything to do with it?
Well, the A is not the only letter that represents this, because there's always three letters that represent a quality or characteristic, but they are your ones that self-sacrifice. So, yes, they'll work very, very hard. Like I said, they work for praise. They don't work for money or funds or whatever. They're working to be appreciated.
This is really, really a wonderful science. I am so interested in it, and I'm so glad that you've done a book on it, which I understand you're going to redo and update. And that's great. So are we really, as unborn souls, are we really able to choose our name before our birth?
From all the research I've done and from going around and presenting this in over 70 countries around the world, I have heard some remarkable stories. And it appears to me from just thousands of testimonies that the soul impresses upon the parent what they want to be called. So actually, we're naming ourselves.
Well, you know, it's funny. When my son was born, I'll tell you a little story. I had the Rh factor, so I had a very hard time conceiving. And I had had about four miscarriages in a row the night that I conceived my second born. And when that happened, I had a beautiful woman standing at the end of my bed in light. She had long blonde hair. She was in a glow, like in a bubble, had a blue dress on, and she told me that I had just conceived a son, and his name would be Jeffrey. And, of course, we named him Jeffrey. I just think that's fascinating. It's almost as if the soul is on a vibration. Of course, you know I study vibration and frequency. So what I'm trying to do is put the two together, the name and the vibration together. And it's almost as if he came on a vibration where that had to be his name to fit his soul's destiny.
Well, I believe that's so. Absolutely. And that's why the sound of a name is very important just as much as the spelling of the name. For an example, my name spells Sharon, but it's pronounced Sharon. So besides interpreting all the letters in Sharon, you would also interpret the letters that normally represent Sharon and those sounds. So you would do both, and they would all be there.
Okay, you know, it's...
You're adorable. You're so beautiful. You're a cutie full of charms. You're a darling and you're exciting. You're a feather in my arms. You look good to me. You're so heavenly. You're the one I idolize.
J.
We're like Jack and Jill.
K.
You're so kissable.
L.
Is the love light in your eyes. M. N. O. P.
You could go on all day.
Isn't that wonderful? We've been studying names forever.
Oh, I love that song. I've never heard that before by Perry Como.
That's Perry Como, and it's a beautiful song, and it's from the 1950s, so I'm allowed to play it. And do you want to hear the rest of it?
Oh,
you are
S-H-E,
alphabetically speaking, you're okay. You look good to me. B, you're very heavenly. Y, you're the one I idolize. And it's just a fabulous song. WXYZ, I'm glad to wander through the alphabet with you and tell you what you mean to me. I just thought it was perfect for tonight.
Absolutely perfect. And I didn't even know it existed. I love knowing about that song. Thank you.
I'll get it to you through SendSpace.
Thank you.
Now, souls name themselves, and they impress upon the name the one who's willing to name them. And what about the order? Like, my sister is Nancy Ruth. What if she was Ruth Nancy? Would that have made a difference?
Yes, it does. Because your first name is the essence of who you are. Your middle name is the qualities and characteristics that come out during stressful times. And your last name represents your environment. So what you do is you take the first name and you're dropping it into the last name, the environment, and seeing how the person would respond or react based on their environment.
Oh, I'm interested because I want to do my middle name, if I may. My middle name is Ann, A-N-N. So what does that do for my environment?
Well, that's what comes out under stress. So if you're really are really stressed and don't have enough time, those are the qualities that would come up and out, and that's when you get to be your workaholic. That's when you get to be very picky about details and your memory.
Did you hear that, Don?
And your memory would kick in. Your organizational skills would kick in. All the things that you would need to do to get a job done and get it done quickly and fast and be very organized with it.
Now, is this similar to astrology?
I just started comparing the two with an astrologer friend that I have, and it seems very similar because when she gives a reading to somebody and I give the name to somebody, we're coming up with the same information.
Well, you know, I do astrology also, and I even write astrology column on a monthly basis for several magazines. And I do feel that this has something to do with astrology, but astrology is the study of energy, Sharon, and this is the study of character. I really like the idea of the study of character because I think it directs us towards really, truly knowing what our sole purpose in life is and why we're here.
Well, I jokingly always say that you can read your contract with God through your name if you know how to read the letters, because the letters tell you your strengths and they tell you your challenges. And people ask me, do you have a favorite name? Is there a perfect name? You know, whatever. And I'm always looking at a name to say, is it balanced? Do you have the qualities and the characteristics it will take to overcome the challenges that are also in the name?
Well, that's a great answer. A balanced name is one that you would certainly want to choose. But what would be a challenging name? I don't know why, but I'm feeling the name Steve. Would that be a challenging name?
Every name has some challenges. Mm-hmm. And in the name Steve, the challenge is not to be stubborn, not to get set in your ways, and not to start demeaning people that you think aren't quite as smart as you are. Those are the challenges that come
with it. So that would be being a little snobby or arrogant at people that might not be as quick as you or might not get it as fast as you do.
Well, and I wouldn't say it's quite arrogant. It's more like they don't have worth or value, so they get ignored or not appreciated.
That's arrogant to me. or arrogant to me is looking down at somebody else or judging them that they're not as good as you are or as fast as you are or whatever, of course. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Sharon, I think it's a good time for you to please give us your website so that we can learn more about this.
Oh, it's www.knowthename.com. And the book was named Know the Name, Know the Person, because once you know the name, you know a lot about that person.
Mm-hmm. And my website is www.new-visions.com, and we're about to take a commercial break.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the country's largest free holistic publications, with 150,000 copies printed monthly in 3 regional print editions. Wisdom is dedicated to opening people's hearts and minds to the philosophies, products, and services of the new millennium. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition. And now it's time for the Metaphysical Book Corner. This week, our recommendation is Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert. This is a book about love in its many forms, the love of food, language, people, humanity, and God. It's a wry account of one woman's extraordinary journey to dare to dream of finding God, whether it's deep in meditation in a cave in India, or maybe perhaps in a transcendent slice of pizza. It's an insightful and funny account of one woman's travels. So read Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert, and be sure to see the screen version starring Julia Roberts.
If you have lost your sense of fun, feeling stuck in the old routine, are emotionally bankrupt, and are searching for that spark, then you are really ready to connect with your inner Contessa. Louisa Rache invites you to spend some time with her in Italy. Treat yourself to a beautiful retreat in Tuscany to reconnect to your inner wisdom, release fears and doubts, and embrace your birthright of abundance, passion, and power. October 2nd to October 9th. Call Louisa Rache at 215-598-0632. Or you can read all about it at www.innercontessa.com. This is an amazing journey that promises to be so much more than a vacation. Again, call Louisa at 215-598-0632 for further information.
There you go. That was Bonnie reminding us of where we are. This is Elizabeth Joyce at Let's Find Out. And we're talking about, Sharon and I are talking about the real gifts and challenges of your name. So, Sharon, vowels represent our emotions and communications. What can you say about that?
Well, what I found out was that vowels work differently in a name than consonants do. And vowels, like you said, are representing our emotions. And our attitudes are represented by our consonants. And vowels also represent our communication styles and how well we can communicate or click or get along with others. So the more vowels you have in your name, without counting the vowel if it's in the last letter position, helps you communicate that much better with all the people that have those vowels in their name. Also in our name, I put the vowels like on a wheel and there's six vowels that I count, A, E, I, O, U, and Y. And the ones that are directly opposite each other, the way I place them, are the ones that have the most miscommunication, even when they think they're talking and understanding each other well, because you come from things from the opposite side of the totem pole. For an example, your name starts with an E, and my first vowel is an A, and those are opposing each other on the wheel, which says,
oh my goodness,
which says you come from communicating in one style, and I come from a different style. But the most interesting thing is I've learned is which letter is responsible for learning the other person's style and using it. So it is the A's responsibility to learn the E style and to use that when speaking with an E and not vice versa.
Oh, that's interesting. I was going to say, are we going to get along?
Of course, because I've learned how the E needs to hear things. For example,
and I also think that sometimes when you meet somebody, there can be a little resistance in that time. And resistance when you meet somebody and that you have to do figure out how to communicate with others sometimes. It's not easy all the time.
Right, and there's other things that come into play. But basically, even when you think this is a good relationship and we're communicating, there can be miscommunication because what you think you heard isn't really what the other person meant. And different things that are important. For an example, somebody with the first vowel of an E in their name, when I see them, I always like to start with, hi, how are you? And then we listen to whatever it is, and then we let them know that we heard them. All right. On the other hand, when somebody comes up to me, now I've got that first vowel of an A and says, hi, how are you? I think we're wasting our time. Get to the point. What do you want to know? You know, it's like jump right in. And so it's interesting. It's just a difference in communication. And so I give a lot of workshops to salespeople to say, if you know the person's name, whether you're a telemarketer, or they're walking into your car dealership, or they're thinking about buying a house, you need to know what they need, and it's based on that first vowel of the first name, which style is going to suit them so that they'll purchase from you.
Great. We have somebody calling in, Sharon, that would like to ask you a question. Her name is Lori, and she's from New York. Hello, Lori.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to Let's Find Out.
Hi.
Look at what a fast learner Lori is. She already starts with hi, how are you, because she's talking to somebody with an E in their name for that first vowel.
What can we do for you, Lori?
I wanted to know about my name. My name's, it's Lori Ann.
Is that your full name, Lori, or Laura?
Lori Ann is my full name. Lori Ann, it's L-O-R-I-A-N-N.
So I was just going to ask how you spelt it, and I need a last name because I need to be able to drop it into an environment.
It's Skarren. It's S-K-A-R-R-E-N.
Okay. You came into this world with a lot of self-confidence in knowing what you wanted, but something rocked your boats in the middle of it, and you had to fight for your independence, and you had to work to get your way out of it to regain your sense of self-confidence. You have a wonderful memory. You were taught from very young that it was important to have a good memory, and that was your survival skill, is remembering what happened and what needed to happen. You came out with fairness issues, and what I mean by that is, you don't like to see other people not be treated fairly, and you don't like it when it happens to you, and you have the ability to both stand up for others and to stand up for yourself, which is really marvelous. You've got this independent streak, and the truth to you is really, really important. You got a little bit of rebelliousness in you. And when you're told what to do or somebody tries to boss you around, that rebelliousness comes right up, and you're going, oh, yeah, I don't think so.
Do you think that's true for you, Lori? Is she right on?
That's true, yeah.
Okay. Have you had real issues with character and people telling the truth?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate your listening.
Thank you.
So, Sharon, that means that two people can really be determined when their names are compared, or you can find out where a boss and maybe a secretary are going to get along or not with the name, because I know you can do it with astrology.
Yes, absolutely. And I have a lot of businesses that won't hire before they call me. They'll say, here are the names of the people applying. And I'll say, what are the characteristics that you want in this job? What are you looking for? And then I'll say, okay, throw out these names because they don't have what you're looking for. And then I'll say, and everybody comes with gifts and with challenges, and here's what they are in these different people, and then go ahead and interview. You know?
That's wonderful. I have a school principal that comes over every single time she's going to hire teachers, and we compare the charts, and then we go through the all of the resumes, and we decide which one might get along with what, and we do it by the moon, which, of course, if your moon's conjunct, you usually can get along with anybody. It's just so fascinating. You know, Carl Jung discovered this work back in the 30s and 40s of the 20th century. Carl Jung was very well known in doing the astrology work and the comparing. How do you think you could get this word out so that you could teach maybe some personnel people how to do this?
I'm working on it. I'm doing my best to get the word out. I just think namology is such a gift once you understand it, because it helps people bring down barriers and helps us get along and understand each other's better. It also, certain people have characteristics, and when you realize, oh, it's right there in their name, they can't help that, then we're a lot more accepting when people do different things.
Yeah, but you can also use that as an excuse not to be responsible, too, depending on how mature you are. So you do have to be careful. But I think it's wonderful to know about harmony, and I think it's great to know that all of those bears aren't going to come in and be with all the cats. You have to put everybody that has a different personality makeup, you know, that might clash with somebody else in a different space. Otherwise, one becomes overbearing or they get into some kind of a power play.
Well, I know that there's one large company in San Diego that always calls me for references before they hire. And sometimes I'll say, this is a marvelous person, but who you're going to have them working for, there's going to be conflict. But this one has all the qualities and characteristics you're looking for. So if you can get the boss to treat them this way or address them this way and give them the freedom that they need, they'll go out and they'll be wonderful for you, and you'll be so glad you hired them.
You know, it's funny. This one company was starting to do, what time do you get to work? Can you come at 8? Can you come at 9? And can you come at 10? And they were learning that people, if
people wanted to come in earlier, they'd come in 7 before 8, or if they wanted to come in later, they'd come in at, but they would stay later and still do just as well a job, whereas if they forced them to come in earlier, they would be grouchy and cantankerous and all that type of thing, and their day wouldn't go well. Do you agree with that?
Well, I happen to agree with that because I was a school teacher for so many years, and I always asked to have my conference period at the beginning of the day if I could. And then I don't care if I'm taking the kids after school or the tutoring or the whatever, because I'm such a night owl. And so, I mean, I would watch those high schoolers come in and go, you know, we really just need to start school an hour or 2 hours later. And a lot of them would be a lot happier.
What is the most important point in this science? What do you think is the most important thing for people to know about namology?
Is that if you're looking at getting to know yourself, and I think as part of the real purposes of being here is to be very comfortable with who we are and to make the best of our sojourn while we're here. And when you look at your name and you say, oh, these are my gifts and these are my challenges, and my challenges is what I came to learn, and am I avoiding those or am I walking forward to them? And look at the gifts I gave myself and able to learn how to deal with them. You know, so you embrace those challenges instead of skirting them.
Is there any name that you would hear where you would get an inner warning that maybe this was going to be a complicated person? What would that name be, or one or two of them?
Well, it depends on what your own name is. Like the names that I get inner
warning. Oh, jeez.
You know, the names I get, there's a group of names that when somebody says that's their name and I meet them, I think, okay, I'm going to be polite, I'm going to be nice, and I'm going to get out of here as fast as I can.
And what are those? Can I have three of those?
For me, the names would be like a Patricia, like a Bruce. Those are two names that for me, I just go, oh, these may not be the best names for me.
Mm-hmm. Patricia, I have a niece named Patricia, and I love her dearly, but I have trouble sometimes when I'm communicating with her, and I miss her. I wonder if that would be the same for me with my name starting with an E.
No, it would be very different for you.
Mm-hmm. It would be very different. I'm one of two sets of identical twins, and I'm sure that our names may have been conflicting, because my sister and I were like oil and water. Her name is Priscilla. And my name is Elizabeth. She's Priscilla Evelyn, and I'm Elizabeth Ann. What do you see with those two names?
Well, when I'm looking at these two names, I think you have the ability to communicate, and yet you both look at the world so very differently. And
that's
where
true.
You want to take the lead and do things, and it's like in your name, you want to do everything by the steps. Like if it takes 1, 2, 3 to 20 steps to 100 steps, you're saying, let's get started. Let's get number step 1 done, then 2, then 3. You're going to follow right through to get your goal. And when I look at Priscilla's name, it's like there's got to be a shortcut. Where do we take a corner here? Or where do we come about this so I don't have to do all those steps? There's got to be a way we can combine them or get rid of some. Or, you know, I mean,
she didn't want to do the chores. She wanted me to do them all.
Exactly, because she's out there going, no, there's got to be a way to get around this. Where you would just dive in, she would want to say, no, let's take some time and think how we get out of this or how we don't have to do all of this.
Okay. So I think that, and what about the Evelyn and the Ann? Now, you tell me what Ann means. What does Evelyn mean as a middle name?
As a middle name, she has a lot of sexual energy or charismatic energy that she can turn on under stress to try to please others or to get others to do her work for her.
Oh, boy, that's incredible.
It also means that when she loves something and she has knowledge about it, she really goes after it like she becomes the encyclopedia of just the items that she loves, like she can't get enough. But if she doesn't like something, it's like, why bother? I'm not even going to go there.
Okay.
But her emotions, so under stress, she has to be really careful about her emotions because they'll wobble her decision-making abilities, where otherwise they're pretty good, but they won't be if she's under a lot of stress.
Well, she used to be a screamer, and sometimes she would hit. So that's interesting. She was not good with stress. I imagine she's better now, but when she was younger, she wasn't too good. Again, please let us have your website.
It's www.knowthename.com.
And my website is www.new-visions.com. And we're going to go into another break. This is Elizabeth Joyce, co-host of Let's Find Out. Bonnie McDade and I are looking for guests for our show throughout the fall and winter months. Let's Find Out is on bbsradio.com at 9 p.m. Eastern, Sunday evenings. It's a live internet radio show with several worldwide affiliates that we co-host, and we discuss holistic health modalities, energy healing, psychic sensitivity, the paranormal, past lives, and other metaphysical subjects. We have a great listening audience, and we utilize a 3,000-plus name email list every week to promote our guests. This is a great way to advertise yourself and your business. So if you have an interest, send us an email or get in touch with bbsradio.com, and we'd be happy to have you on. Thank you. If you have lost your sense of fun, feeling stuck in the old routine, are emotionally bankrupt, and are searching for that spark, then you are really ready to connect with your inner Contessa. Louisa Roche invites you to spend some time with her in Italy. Treat yourself to a beautiful retreat in Tuscany to reconnect to your inner wisdom, release fears and doubts, and embrace your birthright of abundance, passion, and power. October 2nd to October 9th. Call Louisa Roche at 215-598-0632. Or you can read all about it at www.innercontessa.com. This is an amazing journey that promises to be so much more than a vacation. Again, call Louisa at 215-598-0632 for further information.
Next week's show is Tuning Into Psychic Energy. Sunday, August 22nd, call in and ask your questions about connecting with your blessed higher self. Have you ever wondered how the great psychics get their information? Would you like to learn how to tap into this energy yourself? Do you know the chakras, the seven energy centers of the body? Do you have a meditation practice? Do you feel that maybe you're a little bit psychic? Well, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade will share some vital facts to help you tune into your intuition. So tune in and let's find out. Some of you are familiar with energy healing systems like Reiki, acupuncture, and acupressure. Well, vibrational healing works with your energy in a different, powerful way by accessing the inner you. Please plan to join us September 10th, 11th, and 12th for a powerful vibrational healing workshop in Lambertville, New Jersey. After long service as healing practitioners, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade spontaneously received the energetic gift of healing on the fifth dimensional levels. This healing work, vibrational healing, was recently blessed by Amma, the hugging saint. Together, Bonnie and Elizabeth have benefited hundreds of people with every kind of health problem, including many incurable conditions. Allow the darkness to disappear as you meld into light. Something magical is happening on the planet, and in preparing for the changes leading up to 2012, this workshop is at the top of the list. Register for this three-day life-altering event at www.thebcma.net or call 215-996-0646. You're listening to bbsradio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Let's Find Out with your hosts, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade. We're coming to you live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a recording of the show will be available tomorrow by clicking on the archive link on the Let's Find Out page on bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our hosts, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade.
And we're back, and this is Elizabeth Joyce of Let's Find Out, and I'm here with Sharon, and we're talking about names. And again, you had said there really isn't a perfect name. Isn't that true?
There really isn't. There are some that at first appear as perfect, but it seems to me like the name John. But It seems to me that when they it's people use that name that they take all the good attributes at once or they take all the challenges at once. So you get this almost Jekyll and Hyde approach at times when you think, oh, wow, when they're good, they're really, really good. And when they're bad, you just want to get out of the room. You know, but it appears if somebody wants to hold that energy, there's tremendous energy in the name of John, spelled J-O-H-N.
J-O-H-N. What about J-O-N? A lot of them are spelling it that way now.
Well, you take out God. God's representative.
Oh, is that what that is? How interesting. I don't think anybody would purposely do that, but I just know that people like to be different. They like to say yes. You know, they like to put a Y in for an I or something like that. What about a nickname? You know, I was always called Betty Ann when I was little. So my name started with a B. I was Betty Ann from the time I was born.
Well, and that taught you to be competitive.
It's absolutely true, but I did not want to be. I didn't like that experience.
Well, what happens is our birth name is like the flooring or the foundation of our houses. It's all cement. And then when people build their houses, they put wood over that foundation or carpet or tile or rugs or paint or, you know, they change that foundation. And a nickname is the same thing. You're saying, who I am is my birth name. However, I'm going to show you these aspects of me by the name that you call me. And when different people call you by different names, they're saying, well, when you're with me, this is the part of you I'd like to see. But when somebody else calls you something else, they're saying, but when you're with me, show me these aspects of you.
Oh, that's funny because I later became Beth. I dropped the Betty Ann when I was in seventh grade and became Beth. And then when I started to go to work, I became Elizabeth because I felt more in command when I was called by my full name. And as I got older, my favorite relatives, my two uncles and my aunt, wanted to call me Betty Ann still, and I would let them. Or some people now will call me Beth, and sometimes I like that and sometimes I don't like it.
Well, Elizabeth has a lot more power in the name than either of the other two. There's a lot more energy, a lot more authority in the name
of Elizabeth. In which
one? In Elizabeth.
The name of Elizabeth, that's what I felt. I felt very queenly.
Yes.
Have you had a nickname?
Yeah, but none that I would say out there.
Oh, not Baby Cakes or Sweetie Pie?
No.
My sister changed her name from Priscilla to Chris in later years, C-H-R-I-S. What would that do for her?
Well, it takes out some of the wanting to get out of work and have everybody else do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, however, it makes her life a little bit more difficult because she tries to do things the hard way. It also causes her to be more of a lifelong learner where she's more willing to learn and she becomes more involved with family or more concerned with family than she would have been otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me more about how people would all of a sudden change their names like movie stars. You know, I'm sure that Angelina Jolie's name isn't Angelina Jolie. What does that do for their on-screen appearances?
Well, whatever name they're going by, we form an opinion of them based on that name, whether we're doing it consciously or unconsciously. And it gives us a way of tying in with them. The one that I find the most fascinating is Jennifer Aniston. She had this huge long last name, and when you look at how she shortened it, everything in her name says that she's very directed toward spirituality, toward finding out who she is, toward really getting in touch with all aspects of the world. And when she shortened her name, it made it easier for the rest of the people to connect with her. With her name, because otherwise her name was it was almost like a lofty name where you would want to put her on a pedestal. And so by her shortening and changing the last name for her stage name, it helped everybody identify with her and be able to like her better.
And there's lots of people that have done that too. I think Cary Grant wasn't really Cary Grant, and there was a few others.
Well, in the book, I go through and I describe some of them. Like, here's their real names, and here's their stage names, and I literally detail it. There's a chapter in the book on what are the other uses of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I look at it as you can tell what a country thinks of another country by what they call them. For an example, Spain is what we call that country, but they call themselves España, and Germans call them Aleman. So I go through and I say, so this is their perspective of them versus this is what our perspective of them would be versus what Germans' perspective of Spain would be. And the same thing with products. You know, I compared Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola is one that I put
in the book. Oh, neat. And what did you find between the two of those?
Coca-Cola should always come out on top. Pepsi should always be second. He has to try harder.
Yeah, and Coca-Cola tastes better, in my opinion.
Well, it's because they have stronger letters that say we're in the lead. We are the lead. We're going to be the best. And so whether we pick that up consciously, subconsciously, it doesn't matter. But Coca-Cola should always be in the lead simply because of their name.
That's funny. Okay, I wanted to talk a little bit about how we met each other at Alma's up in Boston and what you felt about that wonderful retreat. And well, and Alma, that's her name. I want to know about her name, too.
Well, her name says that she's very likable, but that she's an absolute workaholic, and then she'll be a couch potato, but then she's right back to work. And she does
everything 3 hours a day.
Yeah. And then she does everything in extremes because mm-hmm. she starts with the lead A, which makes the first vowel and the first letter be the same, which makes all of those qualities and characteristics incredibly strong. And that's that workaholic piece. And then when something's followed by an M, it means that they take whatever letter's next to it to the extreme. So she's got workaholic, and then she follows it by two M's, which means you can't work any more than what she's working. You know, she takes it totally to the extreme. But then on the other side, she ends with an A, which says, I'm very likable, I've made myself likable, but I'm not going to change who I am and able to get liked.
And that's true.
And then she's got him again next to those two M's, which amplifies her lovability. I mean, it's a wonderful name for what she's doing.
It means mother, the universal mother, so it's probably perfect. Again, let's do your website real quick.
It's www.knowthename.com.
And mine is www.new-visions.com, and we're ready for another break. This is Elizabeth Joyce, co-host of Let's Find Out. Bonnie McDade and I are looking for guests for our show throughout the fall and winter months. Let's Find Out is on bbsradio.com at 9 p.m. Eastern, Sunday evenings. It's a live internet radio show with several worldwide affiliates that we co-host, and we discuss holistic health modalities, energy healing, psychic sensitivity, the paranormal, past lives, and other metaphysical subjects. We have a great listening audience, and we utilize a 3,000-plus name email list every week to promote our guests. This is a great way to advertise yourself and your business. So if you have an interest, send us an email or get in touch with bbsradio.com, and we'd be happy to have you on. Thank you. If you have lost your sense of fun, feeling stuck in the old routine, are emotionally bankrupt, and are searching for that spark, then you are really ready to connect with your inner Contessa. Louisa Roche invites you to spend some time with her in Italy. Treat yourself to a beautiful retreat in Tuscany to reconnect to your inner wisdom, release fears and doubts, and embrace your birthright of abundance, passion, and power. October 2nd to October 9th. Call Louisa Roche at 215-598-0632. Or you can read all about it at www.innercontessa.com. This is an amazing journey that promises to be so much more than a vacation. Again, call Louisa at 215-598-0632 for further information.
Some of you are familiar with energy healing systems like Reiki, acupuncture, and acupressure. Well, vibrational healing works with your energy in a different, powerful way by accessing the inner you. Please plan to join us September 10th, 11th, and 12th for a powerful vibrational healing workshop in Lambertville, New Jersey. After long service as healing practitioners, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade spontaneously received the energetic gift of healing on the fifth dimensional levels. This healing work, vibrational healing, was recently blessed by Alma, the hugging saint. Together, Bonnie and Elizabeth have benefited hundreds of people with every kind of health problem, including many incurable conditions. Allow the darkness to disappear as you meld into light. Something magical is happening on the planet, and in preparing for the changes leading up to 2012, this workshop is at the top of the list. Register for this three-day life-altering event at www.thebcma.net or call 215-996-0646. You're listening to bbsradio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Let's Find Out with your hosts Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade. We're coming to you live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a recording of the show will be available tomorrow by clicking on the archive link on the Let's Find Out page on bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our hosts, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade.
This is Elizabeth Joyce, co-host of Let's Find Out. I'm on with Sharon. And Sharon, we have another caller. I think his name is Gordy, and he's from Tennessee. He'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
Greetings, Sharon.
Greetings, Gordy.
I want to ask you about transliteration. We're talking, or you've been talking so far, about Latinized, the alphabet that we have through a Latinized language. And many of our names have their basis in Latin, but many have their basis in Greek or Hebrew or, they're, you know, people who are here from, in the United States from the, Far East often have their names transliterated into something that is supposed to sound as close as possible to their actual name. And I wondered if you wanted to talk a little bit about that, about how is something lost, is something gained, or how does things change when someone whose name is originally has a Hebrew origin and then has been transliterated into Latin characters. And I'll go ahead and get off the line and listen to your answer on the air. Thank you.
Great. That was a great question. Thank you. I have found as I traveled, because I've traveled to India, Europe, Peru, Central America, Africa, Iceland, Japan, China, Israel, you name it, testing theories out.
Around the world in 80 days.
No, I took 3 years and really I gave a lot of workshops and people introduced me to other people. And anyway, I just kept asking questions and moving along. I found that as long as they're using our letters, that the name holds true. When the original name, like in China, they're given both an English name and a Chinese name. And when they're called by the English name, those are the characteristics they're showing. But they don't necessarily show those same characteristics when they're called by the Chinese name. And to answer the question very specifically, if they have an original name that's not done with our alphabet characters, and then they change it into our alphabet characters, you get a truer reading by listening to the sounds than you do the actual letters. And the main pieces will hold, but the subtleties do not hold.
Oh, that's interesting. Very. Can you give me an example of translation from one to another? Name like Ezekiel or Ziggy or something like that.
Well, as long as you can spell it in English, mm-hmm. You know it. You're holding it. You hold it. But there's some Chinese names. You know, I spent that year in China, and I was doing my darndest to figure it out from their notations and it, like the Japanese kanji and trying to figure out what the marks would mean if they would translate to a letter and carry the same characteristic. And I just didn't have enough that I knew about within that language to make a good comparison. But I realized that when I was doing names over there, that the ones when they would give me their Chinese name and I would go by the sounds, the main qualities would hold, but the subtleties that you get from how the letters play next to each other don't always hold.
Okay. Is there any way that we carry our ancestors' vibrations with us through the name?
Well, I think some people are named after their ancestors when they want to carry that vibration.
You know, it's funny that the Jewish people believe that you're not allowed to be named after anyone that's still alive. That's why I asked the question. You have to be named after somebody that's already passed over. So that's why I said, what if there's a Jeffrey, a Jeffrey Jr., and then a Jeffrey the Third? My first son was the third, James Vance the Third. So that has something to do with characteristics. They aren't all just the same, are they? The father and the grandfather and the son?
Because the fact that one has the third on, one has junior, and one doesn't have any of those, all make a difference. Because it all plays in with the other letters to say which aspects of that letter are you going to take and are you going to use. Mm-hmm. And plus, everyone has free will choice. Am I going to, you know, learn how to show my qualities that come with the letter, or am I going to do the challenges that come with the letter?
You know, well, my son went to court three times and changed his name three times during his lifetime.
Well, I think sometimes, too, when you master something, you want to change it, or when you get tired of dealing with it, you say, my gosh, I've tried and tried and tried on this one, and I'm giving up. Sometimes people are wanting to change, or they just want new challenges. But for an example, the ST in a name, regardless of where it appears, at the beginning or in the middle or whatever, the ST together, I have mnemonic devices for all of it, to me says stubborn. So if I was looking at the challenge aspect of an ST, I would think that person's stubborn and sometimes will fail to go forward out of stubbornness even when it's in their best interest.
So that would be your Steve, Stuart, and Stan.
Right, or Stephanie. You know,
okay.
There's a lot of names out there. But on the other hand, the positive aspect of an ST, and I'm thinking of Stacy at the moment, is mm-hmm. persistence. The challenge when you take the stubbornness and you move it up to the gift that comes with it, it means persistence. And those are the people that have the persistence to get through medical school, or those are the people that have the persistence to get through something that's very, very difficult and hang in there and not drop out.
You know, I was always taught through my yoga, my high Tibetan teachers, that the letters J, K, W, Y, and V were very strong letters. They were the letters of success. For example, my son is Jeffrey Richard Van Inwegen, and he became an eye surgeon. Very strong name. What do you think about those letters? They catch the money. The J and the Y and the W catch the money, they say.
Well, the J for me says that is internal wisdom. They just know things. They're intuitive. They sense things. I look at the J as the joker, but it's also the brilliance, because jokers in the courts were absolutely brilliant people, or they wouldn't have been able to stay as the joker and say what they said with the humor and whatever to get people to listen to them when they said things that weren't necessarily acceptable. They usually have a good sense of humor, but they're absolutely brilliant people. And those are the ones that we all go and ask questions of. And when they answer us, we're asking, oh, wow, how did you know that? And inside their heads they're saying, and how did you not? Like, it wasn't this obvious. They just have that internal knowing. And the W in namology stands for wisdom. It means we learn through our experiences. We don't have to keep making the same mistakes over and over again, because we'll make new mistakes because we've learned through the wisdom of the old mistakes to keep going.
Oh, that's good.
The K that you gave me is a leadership. Remember, there's always two or three letters that come at the same thing from different angles. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But K is leadership and quicker thinking. And then your Y is your leader's leader or your teacher's teacher, okay? And V is plain charismatic sex appeal.
Ooh, Van Inwegen. Yeah, he did okay. Good-looking kid. Well, this has been a wonderful show, and I do want to thank you for coming on, and I'd love to have you back. And maybe some people could email us at bbsradio.com to ask some questions for you, and we can pass those on to you. We're about to start our meditation. And did you want to make a comment, Sharon? That's okay.
No, it was just delightful being here. Thank you so much for asking me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I did a very special meditation tonight. I did the karma meditation. So we're about to go into that. And Sharon, thank you very much. And we hope to see you again soon. And again, this is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. We'll see you next week. Bonnie and I are going to be on with a call-in show about psychics. Good night.
You are preparing to raise your inner vibration to a higher level. Sit in a comfortable chair with both feet flat on the floor in a peaceful place. Close your eyes, relax your body, mind, and emotions. Inhale slowly and deeply. Retain the breath for as long as is comfortable. Exhale slowly and deeply. Do this over and over until it feels natural. In your mind's eye, recall and envision your earliest life memory. Follow this event, examine it, and let the remembering fill you, but simply witness it. Do not comment, compare, or judge. Then direct and follow and allow your mind to replay all the events you remember in your life. Watch the scenes as detached as you can, without any inner emotions. Witness as if you were watching a complete stranger's life story. As you see your life unfold, you may witness yourself being sentimental about people, places, things, or activities that you are recalling. Inwardly say and feel, I am now free of these events and am ready to accept the next moment. If you feel a strong relationship with a personal or universal divinity, you may find that it feels right to state, God, I am giving all this to you. It has always been and always will be yours. Thy will be done. If it's the right prayer, if it leaves you feeling like a part of the universal mosaic, filled with peace and ready for God to carry you away to eternal tranquility, then you are on the right track. This is an attitude more than just a recitation. Repeat your statements as often as necessary until you are so free of reactivity to the events that you are recalling and reliving. As you view the scenes of your life in your mind's eye, if you witness a nostalgic sentimentality towards any aspect of your life, you are not ready to join a higher power in the higher dimensions, and you will reincarnate again as a human. Your rebirth can occur now, or when your meditation ends, or sometime after your life ends. If you are empty of reaction to your individual life, you will be filled with a loving interaction with all life. What have you been carrying that you should have put down and left behind? Do you still harbor feelings of regret, anger, hate, disappointment, or any other negative feelings or fears that apply to events, people, or the things that are not here now? Why do you do this painful activity? Why do you cause separation from your blessed higher self or a higher vibration? Life can be equated to a boat ride, taking you from one shore to another. As the boat goes across the water, it leaves a wake in its path. This wake represents your past. And just like the wake of a boat leaves behind, doesn't propel the boat forward at all, your past doesn't drive you towards the other shore. What's done is done, if only you can be done with it. If you don't face the front of the boat and focus your attention in the present moment, you will not be able to avoid running into the icebergs and other potential hazards that could jeopardize your trip through life. Your karma is fulfilled and up to date at all times. Your clinging to the past and fantasizing about the future is what keeps you paying a karmic debt over and over again. Simply focus on this moment and witness the path your boat is traveling. This is action free of reaction and further karma. Relax. Melt into your comfortable meditative posture. Focus on your breath and feel and witness its entry, retention, and leaving. Visualize your great-grandparents in your mind's eye. See them be born, have events take place in their lives, and eventually give birth to your grandparents. Visualize your grandparents being born. See them have events take place in their lives and eventually give birth to your parents. Visualize your parents being born and see them going through the events in their lives that eventually included giving birth to you. As clearly as possible, without reacting physically, emotionally, or mentally, allow the movie of these events of your life unfold on the inner scene of your third eye. Witness the events as unattached as you can. and simply leave your attachments to all the events that have resulted in your being here, now, today, in this moment. Know that you are now on the boat ride of your life, and to look back is to reattach to your ancestors and your old karma and all the suffering that clings to it. So look ahead, free of karma, enjoy the ride, and reach out for a higher vibration. Reach out to your new future. Reach out to the fifth dimension. Take a deep breath, relax, and continue the meditation within yourself.